drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Round three, off and running at the 89th playing of the Masters. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. Mike, fresh back from Augusta, Georgia. Got a little Georgia tan going right now as well. You were at Thursday's round of the Masters. You had yourself the trip of all trips, PJs both ways, and here you are. You're back on Saturday morning, ready to talk everything we saw. Real quick, before we get into your experience, let's just quickly update the leaderboard. They are off and running now for the round. Tom Kim, boy, they picked a hell of a slow pace car, too, with Tom Kim leading the way here.
And we need to talk about that.
But Tom Kim, he is playing solo today, but he is through one, bogey on one, so the round three officially underway. Jordan Spieth and Joaquin Niemann teeing off. John Rahm will go off in a little bit as well. Your leaders right now, Justin Rose, after a stellar Thursday that you bared witness to, 8 under. He is your leader, solo lead, 7 under. Bryson DeChambeau, 1 stroke off the lead there. He's been fantastic both days. Rory McIlroy, it was a limp to the finish line Thursday, but boy, he came out with a vengeance on Friday. Him and Corey Connors each at 6 under. Matt McCarty, a guy who was on the Korn Ferry Tour not too long ago, he is in a four-way tie right now with Shane Lowry, Scottie Scheffler, and Tyrrell Hatton. That pretty much rounds out your top 10 right there currently at the Masters. But it is a hell of a leaderboard right now, and I think if you're the tournament, if you're CBS, you are salivating at who you've got at the top right now.
Tyler, well, first off, it's good to see you in certain ways, and I wish I was still down there in others. But I have to tell you, the most impressive thing, the most intense 36 hours of my life, but magical. It didn't disappoint. And for somebody like myself that's been there for, I think it was about 20 times, but this was all prior to 2001. So I haven't been there in about 24 years. So it was almost like being there for the first time again, because so much has changed at Augusta National. What I remembered was a golf club that was very intimate, and you know, they just ran a tournament. But now it is on the level of a Walt Disney World production. Wow. Like no other. What they have done with the amount of land that they have acquired is mind-boggling. And where we parked in 2001 is actually the practice range that they're using today. So really what they did is they've pushed everything out to the northwest, down Washington Road, down towards Berkman's, and they have scooped up home after home after home. And they have effectively turned the front of the house, if you will, of Augusta National, really doesn't face like Magnolia Lane anymore. It almost faces towards Berkman's and Washington Road down in a corner. So the crowd has to walk. Literally, it takes you about a half hour to get to the gate. And all you're doing is walking on this beautifully paved midway. And they spare no expense. The decor, the stonework, the bridges, the landscaping. The grass is greener, thicker, nicer, lusher than anything you will ever see. And this is just on the outside of the fence. When you finally get to, you know, your security check-in, and I'm telling you, they are strict because we all left our phones, but thinking I might have to do the show down there, I had a pair of those, just those little iPod with a string, you know, they stick into
like
your
the earbuds. Yeah.
Couldn't bring them in.
Wow.
They would not. I told them I have nothing to plug this into? And they said, doesn't matter.
Wow.
So they have one of two choices. You can go wait in that line for an hour and go check them in, or you can just throw them away. We threw them away.
I had to apologize
to my wife when I got home because they were hers. But as soon as you walk in, then you go through what is like, it gives us this feeling of you're walking through a European town, a little midway, a little village, and you've got outdoor dining on the left, and all the concessions now, all the bathrooms are permanent structures that fit the architecture. It fits the decor. It looks like ski lodges, like European little getaways, if you will. And then you turn the corner and you see the public scoreboard with all the flags, and you step off the concrete. You make your first step onto that green grass, and the world opens up. It's like Wizard of Oz. It's like the yellow brick road. You just follow this thing in, and it takes your breath away. So I had the fortunate opportunity to be with three people who had never been there. Mm-hmm. And that is half the fun.
Yeah.
Watching their reactions. And when we got to the scoreboard, they were so mesmerized by the hand, you know, scores, doing it by hand and all that. So they're watching all their people. What I did is I turned around and I watched people just walking in for the first time. People started crying. It was that emotional for people. There was one guy that came and he goes, I've been waiting 42 years to get here.
Wow.
And the tears just started in joy. I mean, and it's something like, it's just so hard to explain, because you're now a part of something that is so uniquely different than anything you will ever see in a week-to-week, day-in and day-out golf tournament. Because this exceeds every expectation you could ever have. And a couple of things that just blew me away when I walked on the golf course. They had 2 inches of rain on Monday. They washed out Monday completely.
Right, yeah.
We couldn't find mud, dirt, anywhere. Not even in a crosswalk. The crosswalks were immaculate. No mud. You could have worn white pants and sat anywhere on that property, and you would have been just fine. It was mind-blowing how great that golf course looked as far as all that rain. And it's just not a tournament anymore. It is such the production, and it's very much on the same level of a Super Bowl or even then some. I mean, it's so incredible that everything that they do, everything that they touch is done in a way that is so thought out, so detailed, so strategic, but it always has the patron's experience in mind. And it's uncanny how they've done this and how they have grown this thing. And so for me to be able to see this literally almost 25 years later and how it has evolved, it's absolutely incredible. And you mentioned this leaderboard, and I was trying to get a ticket for today. The ticket prices for today, it's between $3,000 and $4,000.
Jeez.
Just for today.
And it's slim pickings, too.
Yeah. In the beginning of the week, four day badge, $10,000. You could get them, but they're 10 grand.
Wow.
And now they went up, and it's just because of this leaderboard. And the amazing part about all of this is Tiger who? This is great for golf. It is great to see what is happening there, because this leaderboard contains everything that you would want. CBS is salivating like crazy. This leaderboard has it all. It's got the villains. It's got Tyrell Hatton, who on his best day when he's sweet, he's still salty. Mm-hmm. So then you've got guys like Matt McCarty. You've got the rookie of all rookies trying to do something that we only dream about doing on this golf course. But for me, the other big impression were the greens. And again, TV doesn't do it justice. They look and appear to be flat. But when you can get up literally a few feet away from the green and literally look at what these guys have and how they putt and how they roll things, double, triple breaks, or if they don't do it right, that green will take a ball into a place that is so wicked.
Just ask Rory. Just ask Cantlay.
Yeah, those guys. I mean, we were there firsthand when all that went down. But, you know, Craig Stadler made a comment, and I at first, when I heard this during the week before I went down, I said, there's no way. He said, I could put you, the average player, at the furthest point and pick the hole location, and you won't break 90. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But now that after I just saw this again and saw just what they are up to, they cannot turn their brain off at one moment. Even a small one-footer, they study these things because this golf course can be so, so brutal to you at times.
Did you see, there was a video going around. It was like a quick like one-hitter interview with a bunch of players that are playing the Masters. And it was like, how much would I don't even think they gave a handicap. How much would your average golfer, how much of a Sunday lead would they need to have to win the Masters? And they're all like at least 40, 50 shots.
Oh, easy. And maybe more. I mean, because if you played by the USGA rules of golf and you
and get, by their from their tees.
From their tees. Now, remember, this is almost 7,600 yards long. And it is a golf course that it does run fast. It does. But now they have the green and the fairways are going against them to a degree. So they don't necessarily hit it quite as long as they may have used to. But at the same time, this golf course is not for the faint of heart. And I think Brooks Koepka said it best in the media center the other day when somebody asked him about it. And he looked at him. He said, have you ever played here? And I mean to tell you, I don't know that the average, I guess the National Golf Foundation tells us that the average handicap is in around like 16, 17. I don't know that a person out there at a 16, 17 could break 150. And it might even be a tough at 175, maybe even 200. If you play by the USGA rules of golf and play it where these guys are, because some of these shoots that they've created, 13, 18, are so deep. Like, I remember we could see the players on 13 real easy. They were all right in front of you. Now they disappear into this tunnel way back. It almost looks like they went over to Augusta National Golf or Augusta National Country Club or Augusta Country Club, I should say. And yeah, it is just so deep back there. The other thing that blew us away, and you could see the players were struggling with this on Thursday especially, and again Friday, was the wind. Because they lost so many trees, what the typical wind patterns were when things start to go, they couldn't figure them out. And it was perplexing everybody. And it was wild to see. You know, you would see some of the most beautiful plays, and then you would see some of the worst train wrecks. And it was just like they say, you can't help but watch.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll get more from your Augusta experience. Also, kind of go through some of the performances, the early standouts, guys who could make a charge today as well. All that and more coming up next. This segment's been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Augusta, a segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Justin Rose, your leader at 8-under, after a spectacular 7-under Thursday, followed by a 1-under Friday, but still has him in the lead at the Masters right now. Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under, one stroke off the lead. Rory McIlroy, Corey Connors, two strokes off the lead. Matt McCarthy, the debutante, as well as Shane Lowry, Scotty Scheffler, Tyrrell Hatton, all at 5-under. So they're at three strokes off the lead. The third round has begun. Tom Kim is on the course already. He's through two, one over through two, three over for the tournament. And then Steven Yeager, Jordan Spieth, Joaquin Niemann also on the course as well. So they're off and running, and there could be some changes that we see as well throughout the day. Max Grazerman as well, also on the course too. So lots to get to. We'll dive into the top 10 in just a little bit, but in case you missed it, Mike was there Thursday, had a hell of a time there, and you mentioned it's been over 20 years since the last time you were there, and it kind of feels night and day, which is funny because you go to, this is the only major where the course is the same year to year in terms of location. It is the same year after year. Now, there's some changes to the course from time, and like you've mentioned, there have been a number of changes since you were last there to just the whole experience itself, but it's just so funny to me that everything's supposed to be the same, but some things can be so different, but it always has that Augusta charm to it when you watch on television.
Oh, it does. And it's amazing over the years, all the changes that they have made, and they're all for the greater good for the competition, the fan patron experience, if you will.
The evolution of the game as well.
Exactly. And it is so cool how they can make a golf course perform and play so that the likes of a Freddie Couples, Bernard Langer, visit the Fountain of Youth and have us on pins and needles all Thursday, all Friday. And for me to be able to watch Bernard Langer in his final Masters, who plays for my best friend David Glod's company, I was so proud of David. I was so proud of Tour Edge Golf, the Chicago-based company. And just it was so cool to see all that they did to celebrate this man and his career and how the bag, the hat, the irons, they were the coolest designed irons I'd ever seen. And great job to the boys at Tour Edge out there for making Bernard perform the way that he did. But at the same time, this golf course gave everybody fits. I mean, you look at the leaderboard as to who didn't make the cut, and there's quite a list of names there. But to see Freddie in that, you know, competition and to sort of renew what it was like when he won back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was just everyone loves the man. And when he made the eagle on Thursday, I didn't see it, but I did feel it and I did hear it because that roar was different than anything we heard all day. And it was just the patrons' ability to just let loose the affection, the love for the most beloved player perhaps in the field, you know, from a historical perspective. It was just so fun to watch him. It was like a parade. I mean, the old-timers are enjoying themselves. The fans are enjoying them. And I will say this, Tyler, one of the best secrets or kept secrets, I think, in enjoying it is the fact that there are no phones. There wasn't a single cell phone. Everybody was present.
Yeah.
Everybody was engaged with what was happening. So it was easy to become the most educated, best golf fans in the country because you had to pay attention because there was nothing else to do or to distract you. And it was healthy. It was freeing. And everybody, for their own mental wellness, should take a full day off of their phone like we were able to. And, I mean, we all feared what's going to happen when we pick up our phones, but we didn't care. And it felt so freeing to walk around utopia like this. And it's everybody should enjoy this, especially if you're a golfer. It is, it's as Jim Nantz says, it's a tradition like no other. But I would go so far as to say it is a production like no other.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. You brought up Freddie Couples, Bernard Langer. Like, did you see the picture was going around of 93 when Bernard Langer has won his second Masters and Freddie Couples is putting the jacket on him? And it's like these two entered 18 with a chance on Friday to make the cut. And it was 32 years later. And it was just like, sometimes people can just dial up the Fountain of Youth and you see some of these guys. You mentioned the guys that didn't make the cut in this, and you've got guys like Bernard Langer and Freddie Couples who are outperforming guys like Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau. I mean, he's a little on the older side now, but like Phil Mickelson, Cam Smith, all these guys, like these are some of the best in the world right now. And these guys who won 30 plus years ago are still out there. It may be some of their last rounds that they'll play here, but they're still out there competing, and it's like sometimes it just brings that out of you.
And you almost want to say, I hope you're second-guessing yourself, then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because I think Freddie's year is going to be next year, because I think he wanted to have Bernard have his own year, if you will. But to your point, I mean, Cam Smith shot 42 on the back nine yesterday. Freddie and Bernard just crushed them, you know, straight up. So I think what is so cool about Augusta, you can get yourself around it just on knowledge. I mean, that's what Phil was doing. I mean, he was right in it, too.
Yeah.
They all, you know, I think Father Time got to him. And I was fearful that with that leg that Bernard's been rehabbing, that Achilles heel, going up 18, folks, it is so uphill. You can't even believe how much you really have to ascend in vertical feet to get up to the green. And, you know, that was where he needed to make that par. And I was worried the last swing of the day was going to be the most important one. And he pulled it and he short-sighted himself and he still almost made it. But it creates such great theater and drama, and it allows the past and the present and the future all to come together. I mean, where can you talk about a guy named Matt McCarty, Freddie Couples, and Bernard Long are all within the same breath? Only at a Masters. You can't do that at a U.S. Open. You wouldn't do that at a PGA Championship or, you know, the Open Championship over in Europe. It just doesn't happen. But Augusta has a magic formula that it does allow the past to come out at 1 week a year and to compete with the young guns, and it is just so fun. As an older person myself, I couldn't help but root for every old guy out there, and it was so fun, and all of us were. It was just utopia. I can't put it any other way. It was just perfect.
We will check in at Augusta, by the way, a little less than 10 minutes from now. James Colgan's going to join us, 9:35.
Perfect.
If you haven't read his work from the week, too, did a great piece on Jim Nance, piece about going to the Masters with his father and the impact that his grandfather had, and then he's done some great reporting down there as well. We'll check in with him in a little bit. But seeing people dial it back and then seeing new stars emerge as well. And just some of these younger guys, too, or guys that were counted out. Like, how many people counted out Max Homa into this? I mean, I think you and I were in that camp that we didn't think Max would make the cut. He makes the cut. He actually makes it by a couple of strokes, too. And he's got a new caddy on the bag as well. Good to see Max back in the thick of things. You have Ludvig Åberg trying to follow up what he did last year. Little bit of a stumble on 17 and 18 to close the day, but you enter the clubhouse down only five strokes in what feels like a very wide open tournament.
Oh, it is.
If somebody has a day today, if anybody that's currently under par right now that has a day today,
you're in it.
You're going to be in it tomorrow.
There's
you're
no
going to
doubt.
Have a chance.
And there's going to be a few guys having those days today because the winds are forecasted to be down. The golf course is absolutely perfect. I mean, we will see some low scores today. I have a really, really strong feeling. But, it's this is set up. I mean, it is like the perfect Thanksgiving dinner. The table is set. Folks, just sit back and enjoy the next two rounds of dinner. This is Masters served up Southern style. And the hospitality, I have to say this, too, about the people down there. We need to take a lesson from Southern charm and Southern hospitality. There's nothing like it. I mean, we have nice people in Midwest, but I'm going to tell you something. They go to charm school down there, and I mean that just the Southern accent and just so overly friendly. They want to make sure you're having a good time, whether you're shopping, buying a pimento cheese sandwich. I mean, and every person at the end of your transaction or whatever just tells you, enjoy the day. Well, how could you not?
Yeah.
You're here. But
it's going to be a little different at Bethpage for the Ryder Cup, isn't
it? Let me tell you. This is going to be on one end of the spectrum, and the Ryder Cup will be on the opposite end. I mean, and it will be like that. But this was unbelievable. And the level of niceness and kindness that was going throughout the patrons was unbelievable. And we were talking about it at the break, the chairs.
Yeah.
This, folks, I don't know why. Jay Monahan, pay attention to what they do at the Masters with these chairs. What you do is you buy a chair and you put your business card. They put a little slot. You put your business card right in the slot. That's your chair. And everybody respects your chair. And you can sit on anybody's chair until that person comes back and they tap you on the shoulder and say, well, that's my chair. So then you move over to another chair. It is the greatest thing in sports. Why the PGA Tour and the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship doesn't do this, it's beyond me.
I feel like you could only get away with it, though, at Augusta, because the consequence of acting out at Augusta, yeah, even for the slightest thing, is so much higher than any other golf tournament. I think it's something that it's part of the charm and it's part of the prestige, and I don't think any other golf course or facility in the country can match that.
You're 100% right. 100% right. And you would probably have people just stealing chairs and,
yeah, right,
and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you, though, when you talk about security, and that's the other thing about this place, security is everywhere. You can see it in plain sight, but then you don't see it in plain sight. But they're there. And to that point, we were watching Bernhard Langer, and somebody made a snide comment about how he's anchoring the putter. And, yeah, it'll be mm-hmm. something along the lines of that it, watching him cheat. Mm-hmm. So the word cheat came out. Now, in Augusta, it's as quiet as a church in there. All of a sudden, this one guy's head snapped around, and the next thing you know, security confronted this guy and walked him away. Now, I don't know if they kicked him out, mm-hmm. but they had some strong words for him. And I mean, what he said was maybe true, but you just don't say that. But at the same time, it was just that one word, and they confronted him.
Wow.
I mean, there was no dilly-dally, no, you know, Baba Booey stuff. Yeah. There was none of that. If you do that, you're gone.
Wow. All right, when we come back, we'll check in down at Augusta. Golf.com's James Colgan will join us. All that and more coming up next. The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. Let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's, a sub above, where we find James Colgan from golf.com. He joins us live from Augusta National. Good morning, James. How's everything going down in the great state of Georgia?
Good morning, Tyler. The sun is shining, the leaderboard is loaded, and Augusta National is looking just perfect on this Saturday morning. I think we are in for a weekend at the Masters. And, man, I don't know if you can feel it, but I am excited right now. I've got chills already. This is going to be a really special weekend in the sport. And I'm hoping only that I'm able to keep my sleep schedule somewhat intact while doing it. But otherwise, we are in great shape here in Augusta.
James, I couldn't agree with you more. I happened to be able to be down there with all you guys on Thursday and flew back last night. And I had not been there for almost 25 years. I am so stoked for this weekend because of the leaderboard. And the most amazing thing to me is there's no Tiger Woods, and we're able to do all this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this is the next generation in golf has finally really established themselves in a way that we can point to two transformative stars in the sport who are, you know, in second and third place of this golf tournament right now. And that's, of course, Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. I think for a long time, both of those guys were really interesting, mercurial players who had the opportunity to be great stars. But I think there was a lot of inconsistency. There's been a lot of heartbreak there. You know, neither of them has won at anywhere near the clip we've seen from Tiger or even Phil, for that matter. But I think the thing that we've gotten out of this last 12 to 24 months in golf is we've had like three separate huge stars separate themselves as being that way. I think it's Rory, I think it's Bryson, I think it's Scottie Scheffler. And as we look to the weekend here, all three of those guys are perfectly reasonable candidates to deliver themselves a green jacket come Sunday afternoon, and that's really all I can hope for.
All right, James, you have done three pieces of work in the past like week or so that have really stood out to me. You had your story about winning the lottery last year to play at Augusta. You did your profile of Jim Nance, where you pretty much spent a whole day with him. And then you went kayaking through Rays Creek fishing for golf balls, and you found some golf balls with the Augusta National logo on them. Of those three, which was the biggest, like, pinch me sort of moment story to write or piece of content that you delivered?
Man, this is a really tough one. I think hearing you say that back makes me feel a lot more accomplished about my week than I was feeling a few minutes ago. So thank you for that, Tyler. But I would say, the profile I wrote with Jim was, with Jim Nance was really one of the most unique experiences of my sports and journalism life. Obviously everybody knows Jim Nance, everybody has heard him speak, but to spend a day kind of inside his brain and living his life alongside him, I felt like I learned a lot about the man behind the camera. It was just an incredibly special moment, and to have the opportunity to see all of the good things that he sort of does in his life that he never speaks about, and that, you know, he would sooner stick his head in the sand than speak about. It was really cool to get to do that. I'm deflecting a little bit here, I'll admit, because the story I wrote about winning the lottery was probably the most personal story I've ever written in my life. It's about my relationship with my grandfather and how that led me to Augusta National. And so that will always have an incredibly special place in my heart. And I'm really touched by the response that both of those stories have gotten. And you know, this Race Creek kayaking adventure is a little bit more on the crazy side. But it's been a really special week. And I think the pretty amazing thing about this week in golf, in the context of the greater sports world, is that there's so many stories that people just want to receive and want to consume. And when the tournament is as good as it's been this week, it gives me a lot of leeway to write some really interesting stuff and to work on some really interesting stuff. And so I'm just grateful for everyone who's been around here. It's been an incredibly special weekend. I'm really optimistic. I think we're going to get a really special weekend.
And you know, James, like you said, Jim Nance is a legend, obviously, behind the microphone. But I also want to say, because I know Jim Nance, he is also a legend just as a person. When you got to know him, and like, give us a sense of what impressed you the most about him that you really didn't write about, something that you noticed or what he did or didn't do that just says, wow, the ultimate gentleman.
Yeah, I have actually a great story for this. When I was 23 years old, so 4 years ago, and had just gotten into the golf world, I joined a CBS conference call ahead of the Masters. And I knew really nobody in the industry. I knew nobody in the sport. I was really feeling like I was kind of writing and posting into the ether. My stuff was sort of disappearing as soon as it went out into the world. And I remember joining a conference call for the Masters with, you know, with Jim as one of several people who was on the call. And I asked a question on the conference call. And Jim, before he answered my question, he started pausing and said, "You know, James, I just wanted to say, like, you know, you're such a talented young writer, and you know, you have such a diverse skill set. Like, I'm just really excited to see where your career goes." And then he gave the answer they had after that. And I remember sitting in my apartment. I was living in the West Village in Manhattan at the time, and I remember my jaw nearly fell, you know, to the floor. I was so stunned by that interaction and by that back and forth. And you know, I'd never spoken to Jim. I'd never had any interaction with him before. I didn't even know that he, you know, read golf.com. He knew our website. And here he was telling me that not only did he read it, but he had read enough that he was, you know, was willing to make a qualitative assessment on my career. I think it speaks to the person that he is. And I think it speaks also to the role that he plays in the sport. I mean, I think for a lot of people, he is the narrator of American sports. He is kind of the voice of authority. So to hear something like that for me as a young writer was this tremendous boost of confidence and a tremendous boost of my career, of where I was headed. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't like use this opportunity to kind of thank him for that, because it means a lot more to me than I think he ever knew and would ever know.
James Colgan, golf.com with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. All right. So to what's taken place on the golf course now, what's been the biggest surprise to you of what you've seen so far through two rounds?
My biggest surprise of the week by a wide margin was Rory's second round on yesterday morning. I had basically written him off as soon as he had those two double bogeys down the back nine on Thursday afternoon. I thought he was just not in the place to be contending at this tournament. I thought I saw all of the same demons that have haunted him forever at this golf tournament, and I didn't see any examples of him playing smarter or more patient or more tactful golf than he's played, you know, in his history of being unsuccessful here. But the way he came out and played yesterday, the fact that, you know, he talked about this after the round, that he stayed patient. He didn't try to get back all the shots he'd lost at once. He, you know, was waiting to really take his chance to score on the back nine. To have the wherewithal to do that in the situation that he was in, where, you know, if he didn't put a really low score on the board yesterday, he was effectively out of this tournament. To have the wherewithal to do that, and then to do it on the back nine, to shoot six under on Friday, a 66 in a really, really clutch moment. I was blown away by that performance. And really, for the first time, maybe in my golf career, I found myself wondering, like, maybe Rory actually has a shot this weekend at Augusta National, because, you know, I am by no means a critic of Rory's, but you know, I just think that his general like emotional relationship with this tournament is not such that he will be able to win it easily. And I always thought that he would break his major drought somewhere other than the Masters before he won at Augusta National. But after seeing his performance yesterday, I started to think that maybe that might be more plausible than I was giving him credit for.
So, James, we find ourselves yet at another major, and yet we have a few LIV players sprinkled in about the leaderboard. And in this case, we have Bryson, we have Hatton, and we've got Patrick Reed. You know, it reminds us again that we need this reunification. And has there been any word, any discussion about that, or is this week pretty much drop that subject? We're all Masters. We'll pick it up next week.
Yeah, I would say that there's been a little bit of avoidance of this topic this week. I think that, you know, we have heard some reports, and I have seen, you know, spoken to some people who spotted Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who is the head of the Saudi PIF, on site here this week at Augusta National. Obviously, Jay Monahan is here. The CEO of LIV, Scott O'Neill, is also here. So the biggest players in golf are all in this environment, and I'm sure there are conversations going on. But last I had heard and last I'd sort of been reported, it seems like we've reached maybe what might be described as a little bit of an impasse in these discussions, because I don't think that anybody is really willing to bend on some of the key issues around this topic. I mean, I think team golf is a big piece of this. I think an international schedule is a big piece of this. And I don't know that there's a lot of agreement between the two sides on what that actually looks like. And I think, honestly, everyone hoped that we would be further along than we are right now. And I think, specifically, the PGA Tour has definitely been projecting in recent weeks as if it is moving on without the help of LIV or the Saudi PIF, that it has the strong hand in this situation. And the Tour has been saying, like, the PGA Tour, that is, has been saying, we are going to continue pursuing this thing that we've been doing exactly the way that we've been doing it. And if we get help from the Saudis, great. And if we don't, that's also great.
So if I had to ask you then, between Bryson and Rory, who's your pick? Or is it somebody else?
I would say Bryson is my pick at this point in the weekend. I think his game has an air of inevitability around it that is interesting for someone who makes as much mistakes as makes as many mistakes as he does. I think that he, I was speaking with his coach earlier this week on Thursday, and Dana Dahlquist, and his coach turned to me and said, when we showed up here this week, I was expecting that he would win on this golf course. And then he paused and he said, by a lot. when I saw him on Thursday, I didn't necessarily think that that was the case. But when I saw him yesterday, he talked about how he'd sort of figured something out in the course of the day and definitely had a better feel for his swing. And I definitely saw that on the golf course. I saw a player who looked comfortable, who looked confident, who was really navigating his ball in an impressive way. And I think that that is a huge piece of the job and a huge piece of the work of winning at Augusta National is just having your control. I think the one thing that Rory still needs to show me is that he has been hitting his driver all over the place this week, and that's been putting him in a lot of trouble. And in every tournament he's won in his entire career, driver has been the strength of his game. It has not been the weakness. So I don't think that can be the case for him to win this week at Augusta National. But if he's able to straighten things out with the driver on the weekend, I mean, another showdown like the one we had at the U.S. Open last year at Pinehurst would be music to my ears, because that is my favorite golf memory of my life. So if we could navigate that, I would be a pretty happy guy.
Outside of Bryson and Rory, what would be your dream final pairing for tomorrow?
That's interesting. I think I would say I really like Justin Rose's role in this tournament. I think he's one of those guys. He's a veteran. He's been around forever. He's an awesome dude, like just very, very easy to get along with. And he's trying to cling to this late career resurgence that he's had. He's played really well the opening 2 days here, and I know he desperately wants a green jacket. I think he would be one half of that final pairing. And then I think the other half of that would be cool would be to see Ludvig Åberg alongside him, you know, to get the old and the young next to one another. This is a theme that I've been really interested in this week, and I think I'm really interested in every week at the Masters, is the kind of tension between old and new that happens every year at this tournament. I think that is what makes it the most special tournament in golf. And I think when you think about seeing Justin Rose, the old gun against Ludvig Åberg, the young gun, I think that would be a pretty special way to send off the Masters on Sunday afternoon.
James, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. And I think I'm with you. I think we're in for a really good Sunday, my man.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
James Colgan joins us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. You can check his work out on golf.com. When we come back, Augusta's not the only place people are hitting golf balls. Also at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And Justin Pottinger, our producer today, was in attendance hitting some balls yesterday. He'll tell us a little bit about that when we come back. This segment's been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Second brought to you by Geneva National. John Rahm, 2-under through 2. So he's making his little run today. Don't look now. I called this the year of Rahm. I thought he could win the whole thing. He's not going to win the whole thing, I don't think. But could he get inside the top 10? He might be able to. He's off and running today already. Right now, the upper deck golf at Wrigley Field has been taking place, and our producer, Justin Pottinger, was in attendance thanks to the CDGA.
Yes.
He got a chance to go out to Wrigley yesterday and hit some golf balls. What was it like yesterday, Potsy?
Guys, it was amazing. Like, I can't even emphasize, this was one of the coolest things I've done in a long time. We get there, it was 9 holes all around the park, basically. All the holes are in the outfield, and you start around first base, and you make your way through the whole stadium. It was absolutely perfect outside too. Probably 50 degrees, but you had the sun on you the whole time.
Yeah,
nice. You get some food, some drinks, guys. It was awesome.
Did you get to bring your own club, or did they just provide
yes,
those to you?
Yeah, so you definitely could bring your own clubs if you wanted to. You can only go up to an 8-iron.
Okay.
But I just had the clubs that they provided for us, and it was perfect. They give you
– hit some PXGs.
Yeah, you get 18 balls, so two balls on each hole. You get if you get a little mulligan ticket, you get four extra balls, so you can use those whenever you want. Me and my buddies got some drinks. We got some food. It was awesome.
What was the farthest hole, like yardage-wise?
Nothing was past, I'd say, 150.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty short. But honestly,
that's long.
Well, we were standing up there.
Think about the dimensions of a baseball field.
Yeah, right? We were standing up there, and a lot of them were probably like 89, 85, something like that. But it looked so much further than what it actually was because of how high up you are. But yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoyed.
No, it was fantastic. Thank you. It was great.
All right. When we come back, Mike just showed me his master's receipt from the shop, the gift shop.
Yeah.
So we'll get into what was on the shopping list, what he came home with, and some of the shopping he had to do for other people as well, because that
and
is...
And listeners.
Yeah, because we've got some stuff to give away as well. So we'll do all of that in just a little bit.